ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This basketball player who brought drugs into Russia freed her, and a soldier was left there who's been there a lot longer, and he did nothing wrong. And you know what? He was called a racist on Facebook. Go figure. You see the name calling? They don't have anything else to stand on, so they call you names. So what they want you to do is to say, oh, no, I'm not. You're right. I agree with you. You see, you end up compromising, and we see that over and over again. Most of the efforts that target Christians are being carried out by supporters of abortion and gay rights groups. For them, Christianity is denying the things that they want to enjoy. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Muslims, Hindus, and Jews are not being targeted like this. Not that Jews aren't being targeted at all, but it's mostly the religious freedom of Christians being attacked. Again, this is all to get Christians to let go of what they believe in regard to morality. They're being mocked, made fun of, called all kinds of names, even attacked. These are headlines. And you tell me if there's not an attack on our Christian faith. These are headlines. Elderly woman shot while campaigning against pro-abortion proposal. Christian family ordered to believe boys and girls can be girls and vice versa. Christian teacher fired after raising concern over LGBT book read to young kids. Are you kidding me? Why is that happening? Walmart, we're not comfortable selling to pro-life ministry. The military is ignoring the law regarding religious exemptions. Culture war erupts in Texas town over drag bingo event hosted by Christian church. You know, you just go, come on. Crime against pro-life centers will become routine without prosecution. A federal judge ruled public prayer is unconstitutional. H.R. 8404 effectively deputizes activist groups to sue religious individuals. Christian schools attacked for posting standards of conduct. Biden's Disinformation Governance Board targets pro-life centers. The left wants the IRS to investigate the tax-exempt status of religious organizations. I don't really care. I don't really care. It's God's money. Take it away. Do whatever you want. Fired for his faith, an Austin Fire Department chaplain fights back. If you're a Christian, America's ruling elite see you as the enemy. And to come against the Christian faith, they'll do whatever it takes. In fact, they feel that Christians are coming against democracy. They tell us this was never a Christian nation, never. Maybe you're not aware of this. You probably are. This was not a democratic nation. This was a republic. And people don't understand that. What's the difference? What's the difference between the two? The key difference between a democracy and a republic lies in the limits placed on government by the law, which has implications for minority rights. Both forms of government tend to use a representational system. Example, citizens vote to elect politicians to represent their interests and form the government. In a republic, a constitution or charter of rights protects certain inalienable rights that cannot be taken away by the government, even if it has been elected by a majority of voters. In a pure democracy, the majority is not restrained in this way and can impose its will on the minority. Absolutely, there's the problem. What's marriage today? We have no idea. But under a republic, those laws can't change, nor should they. And why are they attacking us so much? It's really simple if you think about it. When we stand up for righteousness, when we stand up for the things of God, we're coming against their immoral lifestyles, right? So they try to extinguish the light so they can continue in their darkness. It's as simple as that. It's not really difficult to figure out. And I'll just show you what's going on. And I'll give you one quote to show you what our founding fathers really said. But what they tell us about our country This is from UC Berkeley, not a conservative college, right? But this is what they said. Today, immersed in existential crisis and moral panic, these Christian nationalists are casting aside the core values of democracy, the scholars said. They're backing autocratic political leaders who espouse their religious values, and they're using minority rule to marginalize opponents and impose their values on the broader society. In a diverse society like the United States, a democratic government has to be for all the people, said Sarah Song, a Berkeley professor of law and political science. If democracy is supposed to represent the interests of all the governed, including people of different religious faiths and people with no religious affiliation, the political rise of Christian nationalism and the success it's implementing certain laws is corrosive to democracy. In the past few months alone, the Christian nationalist movement has achieved stunning success in its efforts to tear down the wall separating church and state to weaponize Christianity against perceived foes. Weaponize us, really. After a decades-long campaign by the religious right, the U.S. Supreme Court in June expanded public funding of religious education, authorized prayer in public schools, and then struck down abortion rights. The Christian right has targeted same-sex marriage and trans rights. Adherents have supported vote suppression efforts that target voters of color. They've campaigned to ban books deemed offensive from school and community libraries. Lies, lies, lies. What do we want? We want vulgar, obnoxious books that are teaching our kids about all this sexual immorality in grade school, out of the public school system. There's nothing wrong with that. Sorry, I get a little upset over that. And did the U.S. Supreme Court strike down the abortion rights law? No, what they said was, we're giving it to the individual states. That's where it belongs. It doesn't belong to us. Individual states need to make decisions on the abortion issue. Do you see how they put misinformation out there? They've denied the reality of climate change. Well, I believe the climate changes. I live in Wisconsin. It changes all the time. It was minus 20. Now it's 40. I mean, come on. In such a climate, said Pearson, America's democracy clearly is at risk. It's a matter of faith among Christian nationalists that America was founded as a Christian nation and that it should be guided by the religious values of the past. But while America has historically been predominantly Christian, Berkeley scholars, and I'm going to use air quotation marks, said state and federal governments generally have not followed Christian doctrine. A lie. And I'll show you why. Many of the founders, though I wouldn't say all, were very concerned about religion as the guiding force for government, said Berkeley historian Ronit Stahl. That wasn't a critique of religion in people's personal lives, but there was a wariness about what it meant for government and religion to be fully interlaced. I don't care what anyone says. All you have to do is look at the evidence. This was a Christian nation founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And in some states, you had to be not just a Christian, you had to be a born-again Christian to even run for a government office. Was this a Christian nation? It absolutely was. Separation of church and state. No such thing. The founding fathers did not want the state to be involved in the affairs of the church, but they wanted the church to be actively involved in the affairs of the state. Why? Because we help it. We want to keep it in line. That was important, but we've turned it around. Hard right Republican Lauren Boebert from Colorado, recently described the separation of church and state as junk. The church is supposed to direct the government, she insisted at a recent religious service. The government is not supposed to direct the church. That is not how our founding fathers intended it. Look at how it's changed, guys. You ask people and they will tell you, the Constitution says there's a separation of church and state. Not at all. That's garbage. And I'll share just what John Jay, he was the original Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, one of the three men most responsible for the Constitution, and what he had to say. And you tell me, was he talking about freedom of religion for all religious groups? Well, this is what he said. Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Was this a Christian nation? First Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice, said it was. And to select Christians for office. That's pretty clear. And if you want more on that, you could look at our Gospel of John study, Destroying the Evidence, Part 1. I list a bunch of stuff showing that this was a Christian nation, and they're trying to destroy that, take that away. You know, where did our founding fathers get, or how did they speak? What did they share the most? And a group of political science professors from the University of Houston felt that if they could see whom the founders were quoting, they could determine the source of their ideas. They looked at 15,000 writings of that era, taking them 10 years to complete their work, and they found 34% of the direct quotes in the political writings of the founding era, guess where they were from? The Bible. 34%! So what we are seeing, and I hate to use this phrase, but it's true, fake news, false information, by colleges, news organizations, the government, and so on, saying it was never a Christian nation. Of course it was. Just look at the quotes from the founding fathers. But because there's this anti-Christian idea, persecution against Christians is growing, and I believe it's growing in America. Now, again, we could spend a lot of time looking at this persecution and this mocking by the world and the apostate church also coming against us. And we'll deal more with that in our second study. But how do we handle it? And here's one in what we're told in Nehemiah 2:20. So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. What did Nehemiah do? He stood on the faithfulness of God. For what? To sustain them in the work. He basically told the enemy, take a hike. This land isn't even yours. It's ours. So here's something I want to encourage you with. Don't let them discourage you. Don't let them stop the work that God has called you to do. And if they're in your church, get them out of your church. They shouldn't be pastors and leaders in the church. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, these words of encouragement in the work we're doing. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil or your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yeah, it's not in vain, never. We may not see results right away, but it's never in vain. So why are we listening to the enemy who laughs and mocks the work that we're doing? And God will give us all that we need to complete the work. And in Nehemiah 4, verses 4 and 5, he gives us some very important things we can do. This is what he says. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. Prayer is so important, especially in the days we're living in. It's part of the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. So pray for your families, your friends, your coworkers, your church, your neighbors, whatever, cities, nations, and the world. And look what happened. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. They worked together. They didn't listen to all the distractions, all the mocking, the laughing. Your walls won't stand. They just did the work and let God deal with the rest. Did it stop the enemy from mocking them? No. It's like one writer said, critics demoralize, leaders encourage. When the critics spoke, the workmen heard them and were demoralized. But when the capable leader stepped up and said, let's look at God's way, stay at the job, the crew members were back in there. Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, this prayer had no immediate effect on the enemy. They were still mocking. What was the difference? The hearts of the people. And that's important. In a short period of time, they were able to enclose the wall up to half its height. That's pretty impressive. Working together, having the same mind, same focus. As Peter said in 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. You know, that mind of Christ in doing the work of God, so important. It's amazing what we can get done when we work together. But when we're not in unity, it's just a mess. I mean, there's so many stories out there about church splits. One church almost had a church split over what color the church basement was to be painted. One group said, hey, it should be painted blue, you know, the color of heaven. The other one said, no, green, it's the color of growth. If you are fighting over a color, something's wrong, right? And it can happen. We need to be careful, because how do you conquer? You divide. And we saw it so much with COVID, right? How divisions, everyone had their take on it. And my view, and you've heard it so many times, I really don't care. You can have any view you want. It doesn't matter to me, because biblically speaking, who cares? I guarantee you, no one, not one person, when they meet Jesus, are going to say, hey, was I right about COVID? So who cares now, right? So then there's threats. And it's really dealing with the whole one world government. I mean, what was one of the things that they said? Oh, with COVID, we need a world government to help control COVID. Because you know what? Those viruses, they will respond to a world government, man. They will just obey it, won't they? No, it's the most ridiculous thing in the world. You know, they use anything to for their cause. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, because we're going to deal more in our next study. But in Nehemiah 4, verses 7 through 9, and really I'm going to deal with through verse 8 first, but this is what Nehemiah said. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. So as Nehemiah and the people there in Jerusalem were trying to do the work of God, here are these enemies of God coming and trying to stop the work. They created confusion. The world system, the people who are trying to fight against God, love to cause confusion, guys. Why? Because confusion causes people to fight amongst each other. Divide and conquer, like I said. And wow. Yeah, is there truth out there? Absolutely. But you have so much misinformation that who knows what's right and wrong anymore, except what's in the Bible. Jesus said in John 17:17, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. There it is. And God has already told us what's going to happen, right? He told us of this coming together of a world government. In fact, we've talked about this in our other prophecy updates, but for those that haven't been here, in Daniel chapter 2, it talks about the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw and finally come to the feet and toes, right, of iron and clay. The 10 toes represent the last 10 world kingdoms. Interestingly enough, back in September 17th, 1973, the Club of Rome had this report, and it was called Regionalized and Adaptive Model of the Global World System. That was back in 1973. Here we are, beginning with 2023, right? Tomorrow, or in a few hours, I guess. Back in 1993, July 18th, Henry Kissinger, a Council on Foreign Relations member, trilateralist, said the following in a Los Angeles Times concerning NAFTA. Okay? Keep in mind, look at what's joined together. We see Canada, the United States, and Mexico, right? This is what Henry Kissinger said. What Congress will have before it is a new, not a conventional trade agreement, but the architecture of a new international system, a first step toward a new world order. See, this is not something that's just come up. This has been going on for years. And that phrase, new world order, is speaking of this world government. Like I said, the multi-metallic image that we read in Daniel chapter 2. And again, so much misinformation that it's hard to find out what's really true. But I'll just share what one article is saying about this one world government. And I want you to listen very carefully, because they're saying it's not going to happen. You guys are idiots for believing it. Just conspiracy theorists. But this is what they said. The New World Order, NWO, is a conspiracy theory in which adherents believe that a cabal of powerful elites is secretly implementing a dystopian international governing structure that will grant them complete control over the global populace. Boy, you read that, you go, oh man, I'm not going to believe that then. I don't want to be a fool. He said it's not going to happen. He continues, under this regime, descendants will be arrested and the masses enslaved. enslaved. Supporters of the conspiracy theory claim that most global leaders are complicit in their establishment of this new world order, aiding the NWO through the manufacturing of global events such as the coronavirus pandemic and mass shootings, and controlling their associated narratives to sow civil unrest. The NWO conspiracy theory has a complex history with a high degree of believability and a broad support base. Its malicious elements give its adherents the agency to threaten violence against any individual or group deemed complicit in the New World Order agenda. Not only that, the conspiracy theory acts as a gateway to further hate and violence and has provided the foundation for more radical movements. If the New World Order adjacent rhetoric is left unchecked on social media platforms, it can lead to further dehumanization, radicalization, and violence. So we got to get it off of social media because this is not good. Are you kidding me? Now, again, if this article was written 50 years ago or more, I would say, well, yeah, you know, there wasn't a lot of information on it. I'll buy it. It was written in May of 2022. Either this guy is doing it on purpose or he's brain dead. Sorry. I'm surprised no one has said anything about this. Because when you look at what world leaders are saying from, again, around the world, they don't hide the fact that we're moving towards a new world order. They don't hide it anymore. United Nations. Role of the United Nations in what? Global governance? What does that mean? That means they're going to control the world. These 10 groups will have its leaders. And I mean, this is so easy to find out information. You can just go to United Nations Global Compact webpage. They have a Dropbox for global governance. Is that a conspiracy theory? No, are you kidding me? That's why the article is just ridiculous. This is what the United Nations webpage says regarding the 2030 agenda. And it's getting closer. The title is Transforming Our World, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. And you look at this, you go, well, some of this is good. No poverty, zero hunger, good health and well-being, quality education, gender equality, clean water and sanitation, affordable and clean energy. You look at some of this stuff, you go, that sounds okay. But understand that all countries and all stakeholders acting in collaborative partnership will implement this plan. We are resolved, they said on their webpage, to free the human race from the tyranny of poverty, and we want to heal and secure our planet. We are determined to take the bold and transformative steps which are urgently needed to shift the world onto a sustainable and resilient path. As we embark on this collective journey, we pledge that no one will be left behind. And it sounds so good. It does sound good when you read that. But when it's implemented, you will not have a choice anymore. I've played this video before. This is from the United Nations. And it doesn't have any talking in it. It's just got some music. So those listening on the radio, I'm going to tell them what it's saying, okay? So just keep that in mind. But just listen to this. This is incredible when you think about it. Predictions, 8 predictions for the world in 2030. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Whatever you want, you'll rent and it will be delivered. The U.S. won't be the world's leading superpower. This is the United Nations. A handful of countries will dominate. You won't die waiting for an organ donor. We won't transplant organs. We'll print new ones instead. You'll eat meat much less, or eat much less meat. An occasional treat, not a staple, for the good of the environment and our health. 1 billion people will be displaced by climate change. We'll have to do a better job at welcoming and integrating refugees. Polluters will have to pay to emit carbon dioxide. There will be a global price on carbon. This will help make fossil fuels history. You could be preparing to go to Mars. And scientists will have worked out how to keep you healthy in space, the start of a journey to find alien life. Western values will have been tested to the breaking point, and checks and balances that underpin our democracies must not be forgotten. This is the global government, guys. Did you notice the U.S. will not be a world power? You mean the United Nations, the one that has their offices in New York, right? The one we're supporting and giving all kinds of money to is telling us you will no longer be a world power. The world will be governed by a handful of countries. Yeah, 10 of them, right? Isn't that interesting? I have one more video. Well, actually, I think I have two more videos, but the other one is very short.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.